Good Monday afternoon to you. May I be of the first to say that, and I think at this hour, 12:05, I might be the first saying good afternoon to you, and welcome in to Paul W. Smith, Focus, Relentless Positive Radio with the team, Mike Parsons, our executive producer, Daniel Mason running the controls and teaching, Dominic Valenti helping out today. We appreciate Dominic learning how to run the morning show when Danielle plays hooky. And then Rich Luzinski here with our WJR traffic and weather first. The team is here. While you're on your way to making each and every day count, each day is a gift. And don't forget the QTR that Kim reminds us about. Quality time remaining. Nobody has an idea how much QTR we have. So live your life, well, like you should. I do want to thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. A happy and blessed Hanukkah to all celebrating. I can't make this any better than it is. We've had a horrific weekend of news. There's no other way to put it. I got to put it right out there. It's been, you know, I thought the Lions losing was a big deal. That's nothing. I mean, it's something, but it's nothing compared to all of the news we've had. The Australian Jewish massacre on a beach I've been on, Bondi Beach, although I always called it Bondi. I didn't know it was Bondi. Bondi Beach. I was there when I was there for the Olympics, thanks to General Motors sending us and sponsoring my show years ago. The Brown University shooting, the Reiner family tragedy, and just coming into the show, we are hearing from the FBI that they have just thwarted a New Year's Eve terror plot in these United States. Am I missing anything, Mike? I mean, it seems to be, no, that's like horrible.
I was going to tell you about the thwarted New Year's Eve bomb plot, but you're probably watching the same news coverage we are. Yeah, we thought that the bad news was just contained to the weekend, and now it's spilling out into the week. So,
yeah,
I mean, I can't remember the last time that we've had to cover this many tragedies or potential tragedies in one show.
I can't either, and I don't want to ever have to do it again, but we will do it today in spite of our pledge to give you relentless positive radio. There'll be some positive radio in here too, but as I've said in the past, lately sometimes it's hard to do that. So I don't even know where we begin. I hate to see this Hanukkah terror plot that we see now, where the gunman killed 15 on the beach that I mentioned. Now, for whatever reason, and I, there we go, Dominic, thank you for catching that. I was getting a flashback of what was on the air, but it's gone now. So Dominic and Danielle, thanks for fixing that. But we get at least 15 people on the beach. But tell me the rest of this story. In this headline, cops didn't fire back for 10 plus minutes. What is that about? Are you telling
in
me?
In Australia?
Yes.
Wow.
If they're saying here, a witness says the cops froze and didn't fire back for over 10 minutes. How could that be possible?
Well, you know what that does? That makes that guy who went and tackled one of those assailants and took his long gun even more heroic, because
big, big hero.
Oh, my gosh. That was incredible.
And to see it on tape and to see him run up behind the guy and put him in a bear hug, take the rifle away from him, I got to give him credit. I would have shot the guy.
Well, and you know, to your point about the police in Australia not firing right away,
right.
I saw an extended version of the video where, you know, the heroic man was holding the long gun and pointing it at the guy, and
right.
The guy was kind of walking away, and I'm like, okay, like, where are the authorities to tackle this guy?
Where's somebody?
Right, to take him into custody or something.
And then this guy, who certainly is a not just good Samaritan, but a hero because he saved lives, he gets shot twice after we see that video.
Wow. Incredible.
Because I don't know if this was the father or the son, two complete losers to rot in hell.
Yeah, one died.
One of them's dead. The
right.
Dad died,
okay.
Thank goodness. Now the son is in critical condition. We can only hope that he will meet his devil soon enough. But that the police were there and didn't return fire, I don't understand that. We need to get more information about that.
Yeah, and maybe we'll get some insight with Mike Bouchard coming up, because that's the first I heard. But, I mean, if that's the case, that's shocking. And I don't know what police protocol is in Australia, but we know here that police run towards the danger.
Can I say it again? Do we need more proof? Australia has very strong gun laws. It's not the gun. It's the people who wield the gun in bad ways. Because Australia has stricter gun laws and rules than we do. And it happened there because it's the people, not the guns. Be that as it may. When the first story came out that two bodies were found in a house owned by Rob Reiner, I knew. I mean, when they said 78 and 60, I said, that's Rob and his wife, Michelle.
Right.
That's them. And the first thing I said to Kim before anything else came out was, I hope it wasn't one of the kids.
Right.
And I didn't even know that there was an ongoing tragic story with his son, Nick, who for years fought addiction, still fights addiction, mm-hmm. and they even made a movie together talking about his problems. I didn't know any of this.
No, me either. And I mean, the first thing I saw was just the notification on my phone that said Rob Reiner passed away. And you think, oh, that's sad. He passed away. And then you start getting all these other details that came out.
There was plenty before that, before they ever said it was Rob Reiner. I think might have been People magazine was the first to actually say, yes, indeed, it's Rob Reiner and his wife dead with stab wounds. Initially, it was, for many of the things that I was following, it just said two people found dead in a house owned by Rob Reiner. Well, they didn't want to come right out and say it, but they eventually had to.
Well, I don't think they can until they actually verify who the victims were.
So they didn't. But for the guy, Rob Reiner, who really was introduced to us as Meathead in All in the Family. I don't know if any of you guys are old enough to remember when All in the Family was actually on live.
I've heard tales
real, not just recorded.
I've heard tales passed down about Archie Bunker, but I wasn't around for its heyday.
I lived through Archie and Meathead and the whole family, and Rob Reiner went on to become a tremendous director, producer, and actor still, but if you look at the films he had a hand in, they're pretty incredible.
Very diverse, too.
Very completely diverse, but to have it indicates to all of us that there can be problems in families. At no matter what kind of money you have or anything else, there can be problems and they can become insurmountable, which these obviously did. And though he is not found guilty yet, it sounds pretty bad that it is, in fact, the son, Nick. Well, now, as far as the... I'm sorry?
It just shows you how destructive drug addiction is, too, allegedly.
But it also can show you that if you have all the money in the world and you hire all of the professionals in the world, it may not help.
Right.
In fact, the son was quoted as saying, please stop this. All of these people, quote-unquote, helping me are just making the voices in my head worse.
Wow.
So this might be one of those times where people who have all the money and throw it all at the problem may not be the answer.
Right. But
that's another very long discussion. And we try to remind our Jewish friends to have a happy and blessed Hanukkah to all celebrating. But then you have this Australian Jewish massacre and you go, what next? What's going on? And then the Brown University shooting. They had a guy that they thought was a person of interest, and then they let him go.
Right. So that means the manhunt's still going. He's still out there.
And this is over and above this. We heard early on about three Americans, two soldiers, one American citizen, killed by ISIS in Syria.
Maybe
the worst weekend I can remember in a very long time, and we've been through 55 years of bad weekends, or 55 years of weekends, not all bad, in this chair, in various positions in various cities. And this is a tough one. We're going to speak with Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard about a lot of stuff coming up next in Focus here on WJR. Happy and blessed Hanukkah to all celebrating. I know it's been a very tough weekend and continues to be tough. And there's a lot of blame to go around for people who have been hating Jews, Israeli haters, who then try to wash their hands of racist atrocities like this one at Bondi Beach, saying, "We only hate Zionists, not Jews." Well, no one's buying that. Anyone who's got a brain is not buying that anymore. And these are the prices you pay when you spread hate like that, and there are sick people out there. And there are plenty to go around, that's for sure. In fact, we're going to talk about a little bit about what happened at Brown University, where two people were killed, nine injured. Then you've got the 15 people, at least, dead in the anti-Semitic attack in Australia over the weekend. I mean, the list goes on and on. We just heard, and maybe our next guest can tell us about this, we just heard of a terror plot for New Year's Eve in America that the FBI just broke up. Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard is connected across the country and probably across the world. And sorry, it's always about something like this, Mike, that we have to talk about, but we need your expertise here.
No, I'm always happy to come on with you, and I wish, as you do as well, that it would be about fun things and good things, but unfortunately that's not the business that I'm in or the world that we live in, unfortunately, in these crazy times.
You know, when you'll tell us a better way to understand this, and maybe it's, I hope it's not because everyone's in a hurry to show that they found the right person or whatever, but the person of interest in the deadly mass shooting at Brown University, they ID'd him. They said he was a military guy. All this stuff, and then they let him go because they have information that shows he's not the right guy. And that throws people into a tizzy because we're used to watching television, and on television, the police get these things solved in 60 minutes.
Yeah, well, television also has like one person in a lab that not only tracks your phone and decrypts it and finds that you have pollen on your shoe that only comes from one spot in the world, all in 26 minutes. Right. It's just not real.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that go into a complex investigation. I'm not sure if they got out over their skis on some of this in terms of releasing information. A person of interest is somebody that's a possibility, typically, somebody you're looking at, somebody you're trying to connect the dots. And if those dots begin to align, then they move into the suspect, formal suspect category kind of thing. So I'm not sure what they had initially. I have some information people have told me. I'm on an intelligence commander thread that it not only covers nationwide, but worldwide. And I think, you know, there was some things that drew their attention to him. It remains to be seen if he has nothing to do with it. I guess only, you know, people that are actually seeing the complete file will be able to tell you enough to hold him, or they wanted to see if there was any other connectivity to anything else or anyone else, like evidence or other people. So it's hard to speculate not having the complete file in front of you. It does seem at first blush they got out over their skis with all the information, and we've got somebody, and now we don't.
And that, of course, concerns people. So I know that whenever you're involved in something like this, you are ultra careful. You move very slowly. They seem to move quickly because I hope it's not because of the pressure of trying to please people to show that they're on top of the story. But that we don't have answers to that right now. What answers do we have in Australia? Bondi Beach, you know, we have somebody coming out saying he's going to... the prime minister is going to propose tougher gun laws. That's such BS. They've got some of the toughest gun laws in the world. It's not the guns. It's the people who get a hold of them. And if you take guns away from every law-abiding citizen, then only the criminals will have guns, which is the way it's getting to be lately.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's a morphing threat. So if you take away one avenue, what you see in Europe is they regularly use vehicles, they regularly use knives, they regularly use an alternative. It doesn't take away the motivation or the craziness of the people that are intent on hurting or killing other people. So you're not solving it by just taking one path off. Now, some will say, well, it reduces the carnage or reduces Potentially, you know, but I can envision things that I won't say on the radio that can magnify carnage that have nothing to do with a firearm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not the only one that can think of that. Trust me, there are angry, evil, terrorist-like people in the world that understand and know that as well. And sometimes I'm surprised we haven't seen some of those things. And in our own backyard, there are some very easy threats and targets. Boy. So, you know, we have to communicate better. We have to share information. And almost all of these things, someone saw or heard something before it went off. A neighbor, a person that goes to the same house of worship, something on social media, a friend, something, a family member. And if you remember, the family member of the shooter of Charlie Kirk was the one that said, hey, this is my son, and, you know, stepped up. Not an easy thing for a parent to do, but it's the right thing to do. You can't have your family member either thinking about going off the track or going off the track and not doing the right thing.
We just need it to happen a little faster, maybe before the event, not after.
Right, hey, right. There's a chance you can get in front of it, save lives, and potentially rehabilitate the future of that loved one.
Quickly, the good news from the Hanukkah massacre, the Hanukkah hero who rips the terrorist's gun away from him. It was caught on video, so that made us all feel good. This man risked his entire life, ran up and bear hugged the guy, took the rifle away from him. That was the good news. The bad news, and I want to know if you've heard anything about it, and if not, maybe you'll check and get back to us. We're hearing stories that the police were there and that they froze for about 10 minutes instead of returning fire. Have you heard anything at all about that?
Yeah, I have. I have. And obviously that's going to be part of a deep dive. You know, I was part of a thing called the Five Eyes. It's intelligence sharing international counterterrorism group that I'm part of. I was actually one of the syndicate directors of that. And we had visits twice to Australia. And in those visits, I spoke to some of the commanders, some of the people at my level, and they don't carry weapons, and most of their agency doesn't. And I said, that is such a bizarre concept to me, because if you're in a position to respond to a scene and you don't have the capability to engage, you know, waiting for someone else is a bad thing.
Right.
It's a bad thing. And if you aren't training and you are one of those armed response people, if you're not training and ready to jump in and face the threat, because the important thing is if they're shooting at you, they're not shooting at innocent people or kids. And that's how we respond. Look at us. Come after us, leave everybody else alone. We're going to engage and eliminate the threat. And if there was that hesitation, I'm sure it's going to come out, and it ought to. I mean, you have to have that mindset that your job is to go past everything else, ignore everything else, and find the threat and eliminate it.
Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard, connected worldwide, and that's why we called upon you first, Michael. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Let's not have another conversation like this for a while, I hope.
Amen. From your lips to God's ears, my friend.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to your whole family, and thanks for being with us as always.
Merry Christmas. Give Kim a kiss. Love you.
All right. 12:30 on WJR. We went a little long, but we had to. Just breaking through, MSU quarterback Aiden Childs to enter the transfer portal. So he doesn't like the position he's currently in, and he's going to try to better it for him. And that's the way it is in college athletics these days. Anthony Bellino is here. He's co-host of Sports Wrap with the one and only Lomas Brown Jr. Lomas Brown Jr. and Anthony Bellino, also known as Young Fella or AB, weeknights at 6 on WJR. We know by now the Lions fall to 8-6 and further down the playoff standings after losing to Matthew Stafford and the Rams 41-34 in Los Angeles. Unfortunately, the Rams got a little help from the refs giving them a free touchdown, but I'm going to let Anthony Bellino, AB, fill us in on all the rest. Anthony?
Well, Paul W., first and foremost, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I wish it was a victory Monday, but it is not a victory Monday. And yes, there was the touchdown that wasn't a touchdown. That, I mean, did he even make the catch at the 1 yard line first off? And then, okay, he makes the catch, but then he's at the one when he's down by contact, but then he lost control of the football, but then he was in the end zone, and then they gave him a touchdown, so that's confusing. But then also, we had the no-call pass interference on Jameson Williams down in the middle of the field in the third quarter that I thought definitely was a pass interference call. There's just no flag thrown there. And then you have the pass interference no-call in the back of the end zone on Jameson Williams where he's jumping up to make a catch, and the defender hits him in the back of the end zone. There's no flag there and impedes his progress to even try to attempt to make a catch in the back of the end zone. So yeah, there's all of that that you could say, okay, the refs, you know, played a role in this. But, you know, to be honest with you, Paul W., I was more concerned about our inability to run the football in this football game. You know, you look at the second half where we miss a field goal on our first possession. The LA Rams get a field goal in their final possession of the first half. So there's a six-point swing there. They get the football to start the second half, and we come out with three consecutive three and outs and have to punt the football away to begin that second half. And, you know, the Rams, they beat us in that third quarter 17-0. That was really the turning point of that football game for me. And for a lot of Lions fans, they really looked at this LA game like this is the one, you know, coming down the stretch with four games remaining, three of which are on the road. This is the one that we were going to lose, and we would have to run the table. And I guess everything's kind of moving according to plan, I suppose.
Well, the terrible plan is it's out of our hands. That means we have to run the table, but then some bad things have to happen to some other teams that we can't control at all.
Yes, and we did get a little bit of help yesterday with the Denver Broncos beating the Green Bay Packers, so that was helpful. A very unfortunate injury to Micah Parsons. It was reported yesterday that he actually tore his ACL, the all-world defender for the Green Bay Packers, so that was a problem. We got no help from the Cleveland Browns. They looked absolutely disastrous against the Chicago Bears. So, yes, we're going to need some help. We're going to need, you know, the Green Bay Packers to beat the Chicago Bears again because we're not going to win the division. We're going to have to get in as a wild card. We're going to need the 49ers and the Seahawks to slip up at some point, you know, in order to jostle for position for that wild card. But at the end of the day, you know, if we're able to win the next three games, 11 wins might be able to get us in. And, you know, look, our defense hasn't been great. You know, we've surrendered 27 or more points in the last four games. We've given up a ton of yardage. And, you know, you could point to, okay, maybe we need to get after the quarterback a little bit more. You know, you look at the pairing of Aiden Hutchinson and Al-Quadin Muhammad on the edge. They did something that hasn't been done since 1995 for this defense, and that's two guys having nine sacks in the same season. Since Tracy Scroggins was out there running around for the Honolulu Blue and Silver, and Lomas Brown was playing offensive tackle. So it's been a while, 30 years since that's happened, Uncle Paul. So, like, you know, the front seven's been playing okay, but when you are missing both of your starting safeties and your number one corner, eventually these injuries are going to catch up. You know, you're missing your starting tight end due to back surgery, your backup tight end to a trachea injury. We've had guys, you know, lose time due to ACLs and broken legs and broken arms and broken jaws, and it's just one thing after the next. And I know it's a tough game, it's a tough sport. We've run into some tough luck here, but you know, this group has to find a way to try to rally the troops and find a way to get one or two more stops defensively per game, and they're going to find themselves in good shape.
And Coach made some tremendous calls for plays. I mean, ever since he's taken over calling the plays, there have been some pretty special moments, that's for sure. And wasn't it fabulous to see Aiden get an interception and lumber down the field? I thought he might fall over at any moment just out of breath, but he did okay.
I mean, it was exhausting just watching him. I was out of breath. I mean, what a heads-up play. I mean, the fact that you have a defensive lineman now with five interceptions in his young career, he just continues to impress and improve. I mean, he plays so hard every single snap, and you know, I just don't understand some of the criticism that he receives, especially, you know, in our own hometown. It baffles me. It makes me scratch my head. Yeah, he's a relentless worker. He's a great human being. You know, you watch him walk into the stadium with the children's names written on the water jug to give a little bit of inspiration to somebody, a young person who's battling cancer or whatever the physical ailment that they're battling in the children's hospitals. That all of these little things that add up to just a quality human being, right?
And I had no idea there were people saying bad things about him.
Oh, yes, Paul W. The internet's a scary place sometimes. I just try to stay off of it. You know,
Don't go there.
Paul W. I'm telling you, it's scary.
I don't go there.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but it was. I want Blake Corum to do well, just not against us. But I was happy. I was happy he did well. But again, I don't want him to do that against us.
Yeah, definitely not. It's good to see him, you know, start to get into a little bit of a rhythm at that NFL level. And, you know, you look at across the board, the Michigan guys are playing pretty well. J.J. McCarthy had a nice day yesterday. Mikey Samer still has been playing really well. Nico Collins had a big day. So, you know, across the board, the Michigan Wolverines at the pro level had a really good weekend. Not so much of a great weekend for other Michigan Wolverines, but I'm sure you've already talked plenty about that whole situation in Ann Arbor.
Well, I'm going to go to that before we run out of time, which we have, but we're going to keep going. Angelique Shangalis, the great one from the Detroit News, writes the story, Michigan coaching job seen as messy right now, but still really attractive. You've been there. You're at every game. You're on the front line and on the field. How are you looking at this whole thing?
Great opportunity for somebody. I mean, you're talking about a team with an endless amount of checks to be able to be written. It is still one of the most prestigious jobs in the country, but they've got a lot of house cleaning to be done there, and they got to improve the image to the rest of the country after what's taken place there over the last few years. So it's time to get your house in order, time to get back to your winning ways. The good news is, Paul W., we got Dusty May, and it's basketball season, and they keep blowing teams out left and right. They're the number two team in the country, might be number one by the time this conversation's over. They look spectacular, so get on board with Michigan basketball. We got something to smile about.
AB, he's a co-host of Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown Jr. and Anthony Bellino, weeknights at 6 right here on WJR, one of the best shows on the radio, and you find it right here on 760 WJR. Anthony, my boy, keep up the good work. Couldn't be more proud of you.
Thanks, Uncle Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
We will look forward to that. As we continue in Focus, Paul W. Smith, WJR, I hope you had a great weekend and you're here for a relentless positive radio Monday as you celebrate a blessed and happy Hanukkah to all indeed who are celebrating under the toughest of conditions. We stand by you all the way. Celebrating life's special moments has been at the heart of Ahe Jewelers since Edmund T. Ahe, the patriarch, opened his first store in 1947. Now over 75 years later, and across three generations, the Ahe family has since built an international reputation for award-winning artistry, superior selection, and exceptional customer experience. With the holiday season now upon us, Ahe's team of experts is standing by to help you select the perfect gift from their vast selection of coveted brands, including their own line of custom in-house jewelry you won't find anywhere. People come from around the world to get it. You can view their newly opened Patek Philippe showroom, the finest in the country, maybe in the world. It is spectacular. You can also come on in and enjoy complimentary parking throughout all of Grosse Pointe Woods through the end of the year, once again, courtesy of Ahe. Come into the store. Have some of the refreshments. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the incredible selection for anyone on your list at any price range. If you're not in the Christmas or holiday spirit yet, you will be the minute you walk in and experience the Ahe's commitment to giving you and me and all customers more than we expect. Visit Ahe Jewelers in Grosse Pointe Woods with extended holiday hours during the month of December. Ahe Jewelers. 1246 760 WJR. So great to welcome a friend to the show to talk about something you've never heard of before, and it's so great. This gentleman retired from DTE, was still running the Detroit Regional CEO Group, co-chairing the Mayor's Workforce Board, and on DEGC, MEDC, the Governor's Workforce Board, Hudson Weber, Autism Alliance Boards. He just has stayed busy, busy, busy. Former DTE executive and now creator of Trove Marketplace, my friend Dave Meter. Dave, I'm so glad we were able to get you on to talk about this.
Well, thank you, Paul W. Good afternoon.
I want you to explain to my listeners what Trove Marketplace is.
The background on this is, you know, we have worked really hard to get adults with autism and disabilities jobs, and that's been really challenging. So the idea here is to create a platform that is basically a self-employment platform. So the easiest way to describe this, it's just like Etsy, and it's a marketplace where sellers can sell their goods and services. But to be a seller, you have to have a disability and also be economically challenged. So it's a unique website, and it'll provide a platform for those sellers who are currently not working to have a source of income, a source of pride and accomplishment, but also inclusion.
What an incredible idea this is, taking people with disabilities, giving them a platform, this Trove Marketplace. And it sounds spectacular. And part of this comes, I hope you don't mind me getting personal, but part of this comes from your own life experience, your family life experience with your daughter.
That's right. So my daughter's 30 years old and been out of high school, obviously, for about 12 years. And finding part-time work has been a real challenge. And so a lot of where I put my time and energy often has been informed by either taking on some of the challenges she faces, or in this case, an opportunity. So she started a small business making cards, holiday cards and birthday cards.
Now we should point out she's autistic.
Right, right.
Right.
And
I want people to understand that.
Now, that's right. And she'd been running this little small business. I was watching that play out. Her mom and her aunt were helping her sell on social media. And I started researching this idea of a marketplace like Trove, and found out there's nothing like this in the United States. There's a lot of nonprofits that are selling products and services, but not at the scale that we want to take on. So she informed me, it helped me research this idea, and then the website is live now, and it's helping to prove out what I believe. So in her first week of operation, she sold $1,000 of cards and slime. And so now I have to find 10,000 other sellers like my daughter who can then, join her on this website and sell their products and services.
To feel the joy, the pride of success, to be self-sufficient. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing that you're doing for all of these people. How do people get involved with the Trove Marketplace? How do you verify eligibility?
Well, we are using a self-attestation model. So when an individual signs up to be a seller, they have to read the forms and then fill out a form that acknowledges their disability and that also that they're economically challenged. So we wanted to make this as easy as possible for sellers to open an account and to register their store. And then my focus rate.
Yeah, keep going, Paul. Sorry. No, you keep going.
Well, the initial focus right now is getting sellers to register and open their storefront and upload their products. So I think about this like a retail business that, if you went into a store and half those, shelves were empty, you might not come back. So in starting an e-commerce business, what I'm learning is you have to focus on supply and get the supply in place. And then we don't have to worry about the buyers because all the research says people will shop with their heart once they know this is there. They will buy holiday gifts and birthday gifts and just household items from this site.
Well, especially when they know it's quality. And a quick answer, just yes or no, if sellers start to do really well, do they lose their benefits if they earn income?
No, I think.
Good. Excellent. I just wanted to make sure because being in financial need was an important part, but having a disability too. Give us the Trove Marketplace information as to where we can find it and take part in it. Where do we find it?
It's on the internet, and it's trovemarket.com.
Trovemarket.com. My friends, you still have time for the holidays, for Christmas, still Hanukkah right now, Kwanzaa, whatever it might be. If you're looking for a special gift, this is going to make you feel good, the person who gets the gift feel good, especially if you tell them the story. Made from adults with disabilities. It's called Trove, T-R-O-V-E, market.com. I'm going on as soon as I finish the show at 2 o'clock. Trovemarket.com. God bless you, Dave Meter, for coming up with such a good idea that can help people help themselves. God bless you. We've got to run. Dave Meter, former DTE executive, all-around good guy at WJR. Well, this is where we usually recap the news like we did at the start of the show an hour ago, but I only if Mike Parsons, our executive producer, makes me recap will I recap. Do I have to recap?
You know what? If you have something else you'd rather talk about, go right ahead.
I'd rather talk about anything else, but I don't want people to think we're ignoring the most important news. And there's just a lot of it. I mean, there's just a lot of it today coming off the weekend. It's not the way we like to start a week ever. And thankfully, we don't have to very often, but today was a doozy.
Well, and all throughout the weekend, you've been hearing about these terrible stories from, it started with the three Americans killed in Syria. And like, oh no, that's going to be our top story on Monday. Then you heard about the shooting at Brown University. Oh no, that's going to be our big story on Monday. And then you heard what happened in Australia with the anti-Semitic attack at the beach. And then today with the thwarted terrorist attack out in Los Angeles, the plot to multiple targets in Los Angeles on New Year's Eve. And it's just like, wow, I can't remember this many tragedies in, I think
I can't either.
72 hours.
And Rob Reiner and his wife,
see,
Michelle,
and that one slipped my mind
being murdered.
Yeah.
Being murdered. And we're going to talk about that. So we don't have to talk about it right now, but we're going to talk about it with Nolan Finley. Nolan also had a column on what's going on at Michigan, which is a tough story for anybody, but especially for those of us who graduated, although this does not besmirch all of Michigan. It's a very specific problem, even though we've had several specific problems.
Let me tell you how crazy the news cycle has been, Paul.
Yeah.
What I originally booked Nolan on, I scrapped. I thought that another big news story was going to be those pictures of powerful people with Epstein. I had him on that, and I'm like, there's so much other news. There's really
That's
nothing.
News.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, the Epstein files, they're supposed to be released later this week, and maybe there'll be some news with that. But, you know, we've already seen pictures of Epstein with Bill Clinton. We've
Everything
already seen pictures
the
of
the Democrats want, which is only to try to bring down Donald Trump. They had complete control of everything we're talking about, all the photographs, all the files, everything. And do you think for a second they wouldn't have used it if they could have, that could have brought down Trump, especially for the election? Of course they would have. So this is much ado about nothing again and again and again, instead of paying attention to some of the problems. Thank God the FBI is out there, and they tell us that there was a New Year's Eve terror plot that they have broken up. But that's one. How
right.
many others are there out there that will be like Australia, where they're now blaming the Australian Prime Minister for not stepping up to fight the anti-Semitic activities that were going on in Australia, looking the other way? It's endless. It is endless, but we'll get to the bottom of all this. Here's one. This is one of those head scratchers that's such a little story, but it's still one that we can all relate to and scare us. I don't mean to scare us, but how about a DoorDash driver who drops off the food and then sprays it with pepper spray? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen, I don't know what I'm watching and you're not watching, but I've seen the video 100 times. She drops off the food. She takes a picture of it like they do.
Right.
And then she pulls out a thing and starts spraying it.
Oh my.
And it turns out it was pepper spray. It made the people very ill.
Was it random or was she targeting these people?
I think it was random. And she was a liar when they caught her. She said, oh, no, no, I saw a spider.
So I was
trying to kill the spider. Which, first of all, they refuted that by saying it was too cold out. Mm-hmm. There were no spiders out at that moment. But if you watch her, you know, if I see a spider and I'm going to kill it, and I used to say my brother Mark, if all he had was a shotgun, would have shot a spider with a shotgun if he had to. God bless him. But you'd see it on their face. Oh,
yeah.
My God, a spider.
Right.
But she doesn't react. She doesn't do anything but spray right on the food, pepper spray, and the people who got the food became ill.
Yeah.
She should be put away forever.
Yeah.
If she'll do that, she'll do anything.
I mean, that should at least be some kind of assault charge, if anything.
Something.
Yeah.
I mean, something. There's other news out there that I don't know how to bring this up. Kim didn't want me to bring it up. But it's big news. Now, she doesn't like the F word that ends with a T when you pass gas.
Oh, okay.
She has a thing.
Yeah.
She has a thing about that word.
Well, she's very classy.
She is.
So that could
and
be.
How a... is she, so the question is, how is she with me, who have I have been known to pass gas
right.
and call it the F, starting with an F, ending with a T word?
Well, opposites attract, so.
Yeah, well, this is clearly the case. But listen to this story. You know, there's something I care about my family of listeners, their health and their wealth. I care about them having enough money so that when they retire, they're going to be okay, and having their health so they're going to be okay no matter how much money they have or don't have. Those are two of the big ones. There's others, but like, so here it is. Here's the story from the New York Post. Go ahead and get a good whiff of your own, starts with an F.
Right.
In this case, ends with an S.
We called it getting high on your own supply as a kid.
Well, that is correct, but we were right. Because scientists now say it could help guard against Alzheimer's.
Wow.
I want to ask you a question.
I've got many questions.
How can you be a researcher at Johns Hopkins Medicine? How do you find this out? And then worse, how do you share this with your colleagues? Guys, you're not going to believe what I found out about begins with an F, ends with a T, and an S.
Yeah. How do you get funding for this?
I don't know. I just don't. The National Bean Association might give them money. I don't know.
The Musical Fruit Lobby.
The Musical Fruit Lobby. That's it. people are going to want to be doing more of this because they found at Johns Hopkins Medicine that hydrogen sulfide, that would be the smelly chemical compound expelled when one breaks wind, could protect aging brain cells from cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease in roughly 500,000 new U.S. patients each year. New data firmly links aging neurodegeneration and cell signaling using hydrogen sulfide and other molecules within that cell, according to the Dr. Bindu Paul, co-author of the study.
Wow. Paging Dr. Bindu.
Bend over, Bindu. I want to know this. Have you ever noticed, since we've come into this topic for completely medical reasons,
right?
Why is it that our expelling of gas doesn't bother us as much as getting a whiff of somebody else's
right.
expelling of gas? Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Have you noticed?
Maybe we're used to, I don't know, but that should be Bindu's next study.
Our gas is our gas.
Right.
And we get along with it. Well, I mean, we handle it.
Right. We're probably more emotionally attached to it because we created it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But this is it. I'm not making this up. This is medical technology from Johns Hopkins Medicine. Hydrogen sulfide. That's what comes out there when... Did you ever light one, by the way? Oh, we don't have
time. No, I was afraid what would happen would be what happened in Dumb and Dumber, where if... I can't explain it on the radio, but if you've seen it,
it happen.
You know. Yeah.
I hear.
Yeah.
I hear it does
You read
happen.
Another study that said...
yes, my own personal study. Right. All right, we're done with that. We're going to move on now as we continue. It is... We have to lighten our loads today because
we do.
The loads are heavy.
Right.
They are heavy.
And we're not talking about our gas.
You've been hearing this since last night and all morning long. It's middle of the day now. It's 1:14 in the afternoon. Let's try to... We're not going to forget the important stuff, but we can't let these people dominate our consciousness. We just can't. Okay, Nolan Finley coming up next on WJR. Alrighty, 1:20, and always look forward to this conversation with Nolan Finley. He's the editorial page editor of the Detroit News, the award-winning Detroit News, and co-author of the award-winning The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide. Nolan wrote with his friend Stephen Henderson, along with Lynn Golodner. Always a pleasure having you, Nolan. It is a terrible day.
Oh,
because of the amount of news we have to go through that has happened in the last 24, 48 hours. It's astonishing to me. Do you remember so much bad stuff at once?
all at once. I mean, that's what's incredible about it. There's no relief from it, it seems, over the last few days. It's just been a remarkable, gloomy period.
There's no better way to put it. So here I am trying to do my radio show, known for its relentless positive radio, and it's not easy.
No, it's not. There's not much positive came out of this these last few days. We again in Australia Saturday see the impact, the results of growing anti-Semitism throughout the world. I thought we had dealt with this 80 years ago. And, you know, here we are, still have people who are find themselves extremely motivated to kill Jews. And the episode in Australia was just heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking. I've been to Bondi Beach. I was there thanks to General Motors sending me to the Olympics many years ago there in Sydney, Australia. What a beautiful beach. Those people were just having a wonderful time. And then all of this happens. And there's, unfortunately, more to the story, like police on scene, frozen, and either didn't have weapons to fire back or for whatever reason didn't fire back. That's the untold story at the time. Brown University picked someone up who's a person of interest, but now has released them, so we don't know who did that. We had three Americans killed by ISIS in Syria, two soldiers, one citizen. We had a New Year's Eve terror plot that the FBI tells us this morning and this afternoon they were able to bust. The list goes on and on. The least important, and I don't mean to downplay it, but the fact that Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle were murdered is also a story that people are talking about, because we feel like we knew Rob Reiner, whether it's when he started as Meathead and All in the Family, or all of the different movies that he produced and directed and starred in. But then we found, too, that there was a true family tragedy there that many people can relate to, with his son Nick having all kinds of problems that they were trying to help him with.
Well, yeah, everybody, as you said, everybody's talking about that this morning, including one person who shouldn't. The president, again, has completely embarrassed himself and made a fool of himself by not shutting up. But the Reiners,
I must tell you, I didn't hear what he said.
Oh, my goodness. You've got to take a look. He blamed Reiner's Trump derangement syndrome, as he called it, for poisoning the people around him. I mean, just an absurd, embarrassing remark. And the man just doesn't know when to shut up or when his comments are entirely inappropriate or unwelcome. But the Reiners were dealing with what a lot of American families are dealing with, mental illness in adult children. And there doesn't seem to be much help for them, even at that level, even among the elite and the wealthy. There doesn't seem to be places they can turn to get help for adult children who are struggling with mental illness. And if they can't find help, imagine, you know, what people of far less means are coping with. Yeah. It's just this epidemic of mental illness in our society today is just tragic.
There's nothing else we can say. The epidemic of mental illness in our society today is just that, tragic. Let me just move on for another story, not nearly as important as all the stories out there today, but still important to many of us. And you wrote a column at University of Michigan and other campuses. It's all about football.
Well, it is. I mean, and you could, you know, it's not just U of M. You look at Michigan State University on a $1 billion, fundraising drive to support their athletic facilities, one of the largest gifts they ever received, $400 million to, you know, support athletics. And we've really lost perspective about on you know, the place athletics should hold on a university. These should be collegiate sports like they were for generations, where student athletes get to shine and get an education, and we all get to be proud of our school. And now they're professional sports franchises for all practical purposes, and they're creating these entities to run all this money through that will take them outside the reach of their own boards. It's really distressing to see. You got kids out there making more than the college president. Many kids making more than the college presidents, and I think this college sports is losing some of its appeal, and that's unfortunate because it meant a lot to a lot of us who enjoyed spending our time watching our teams play.
Well, and we loved college athletics compared to the professional sports because of the very difference. And now there's going to be no difference. And for me, Nolan Findlay, for me, the first time I realized in sports that a person chasing a ball around and being very good at a game could make more in a year than is devoted to an entire school district is shocking to me. And I realized way back then how off the rails we were, and it only continues to get worse.
It does. And, you know, this NIL money pouring in and the transfer portal adding a level of competition for players. They all have agents now, and they're sitting down and negotiating contracts with the universities. There's nothing amateur about this. And, you know, I'm not opposed necessarily to these college athletes getting some sort of compensation, but, you know, you've got some making in $10 million and more.
Well, you know, you and I are not alone. Coach Tom Izzo has felt this way all along as well. He doesn't like the money going to the students. He doesn't like the portal. He doesn't like any of that stuff. He's been right about all that. People should be listening to him. He knows what he's talking about. If they're not going to listen to us, Nolan, they should at least listen to Tom Izzo.
Yeah, man, listen to the old guys, for God's sake.
You can't go wrong.
We could at least be entertaining, right, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. We might make sense. We've had a little life experience. All right. Always a pleasure, Nolan. God bless you. I may or may not talk to you. I'd say Merry Christmas now, just in case.
Okay, Paul. Hopefully we will. You have a good week. Bye.
Thank you. Nolan Findlay, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of a book you should read called The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide. Nolan and Stephen Henderson and Lynn Gauldner had a hand in putting that together. As we also wish you a happy and blessed Hanukkah to all celebrating under these especially difficult and trying times. We continue in Focus. Paul W. Smith here on this Monday on WJR. Oh, boy, I just love this time of year. Do you too? Yeah, I love the music. I don't like it when they start it, you know, before Halloween, but I like it now because 'tis the season. Can you believe today's the 15th? We're 10 days away from Christmas 2025. And we're going to have great programming for you leading right up to that and then and into the new year as well. And so we're kind of excited about all of that. Meanwhile, back to the reality of the day and a lot of bad news, but we're trying to make the most of it best we can. And we're going to get some help from retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army, Rocky Rutschkowski, who is on the other end of our line right now. You know him from sitting in for us from time to time and also being an excellent guest. Rocky, always a pleasure.
Hey, great to be on with you, Paul W.
I hope you and Amalia have a tremendous Christmas planned. I'm sure you do. Meanwhile, you've been to Washington a few times. You've been to a variety of celebrations. Now we have to look at three Americans killed in Syria, two soldiers and one U.S. citizen. And the good news, if there's anything good, is the president said right away, Syria did not do this. Syria is, in fact, now, with this new regime, fighting on our side.
That's correct. And since their former president, Bashar al-Assad, who aligned himself with this, with Russia and with Iran, he since his fall and since this new regime came in, we have gotten a lot closer. And believe it or not, the current Syrian Syrian president was on our most wanted list. Once upon a time, we were willing to pay $25 million to have him arrested and brought to trial. But now this terrorist has turned into someone we can deal with and someone that has actually taken his rightful role as being a protector of all Syrians, including the Christians in the area, as well as the Druze. And he has new security forces that we are aligned with, that we are continuing this decade-long mission that we've had to root out ISIS in Syria.
You know, there are plenty of haters out there. I'm a supporter of this president, but boy, if I say anything even a little off-kilter, I get hate mail about not standing up for the president. But that's something those sad, sick individuals have to deal with themselves, because to think that anybody does everything right all the time or doesn't do something stupid. But be that as it may, they should understand, everyone should. This marks the first combat deaths since President Trump returned to the Oval Office. Think about that.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And in all actuality, this one individual, or these three that were killed, the interpreter and the two American soldiers, they actually came out of the Iowa National Guard, and they were doing they were conducting a leader engagement in a city called Palmyra. And Palmyra is an ancient historical area, which is in the south central part of Syria. And during this leader engagement, what happened was a new recruit to the Syrian security forces, which, by the way, the Syrians flagged, but yet they didn't do enough background check on this guy. And he joined the Syrian forces. He got enough information of where this leader engagement was going to be. And he basically took a sniper rifle and started sniping our soldiers from a watch position, an overwatch position, onto where they were doing this leader engagement. So, you know, obviously when people talk about this president, and do you remember when he did what they called the Muslim ban? It wasn't a Muslim ban. It was a ban on seven nations that were not properly vetting. And Syria is still one of those countries that still needs to get their vetting correct on some of the people that are operating inside there. And some of them are sided with Iran and the Islamic State.
On another topic that seems endless, Ukrainian President Zelensky met with Witkoff and Kushner for talks that aimed at ending the Ukraine-Russia war. Any hope here?
Yeah, you know, it seems like every week we have someone new negotiating with them. And the previous week we had Dan Driscoll, the Secretary of the Army. He now is off that because they said that Dan can't do the job. So now they put in Kirchner and Witkoff. And Kirchner and Witkoff have been basically doing this shuttle mission between Russia as well as Ukraine. And it seems like they've changed. They moved the cheese a little bit to make it a little bit more palatable for Zelensky and the Ukrainians to support. But Zelensky came back and stated that any security guarantees for Ukraine must be similar to a NATO-type guarantee. Although Zelensky was willing to take NATO off the table, he said that he wants NATO-type security guarantees in stone.
I'm afraid this is endless and hopeless, but that's just my gut reaction. It doesn't matter what any of these people say. It only matters what Putin does. Not even what he says, obviously, but what he does.
You're absolutely
right. And there's no sign that he's going to do anything that's right.
You're absolutely right, from my perspective, and I think you're absolutely right. And the only thing we can do now is continue peace through strength and pray for peace.
Pray for peace. We need a lot of prayers for a lot of stuff that happened over the last several days. Retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army, Rocky Rutschkowski, best to you and Amalia. We'll talk again soon.
God bless to you and Kim, and take care, my friend. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. We continue at 1:42 in Focus on WJR. Celebrating life's special moments has been at the heart of Ahe Jewelers since the patriarch, Edmund D. Ahe, opened his first store in 1947. Now, over 75 years later, and across three generations. The Yahi family has since built an international reputation for award-winning artistry, superior selection, and exceptional customer experience. With the holiday season now upon us, Yahi's team of experts is standing by to help you select the perfect gift from their vast selection of coveted brands, including their own line of custom in-house jewelry you can't get anywhere else but at Yahi. View their newly opened Patek Philippe showroom. It's incredible. Finest in the country, maybe in the world. You can also enjoy complimentary parking throughout all of Grosse Pointe Woods through the end of the year, once again, courtesy of Yahi. Look, if you haven't felt in the spirit yet, and I can't blame you with some of the news out there lately, get yourself to Yahi Jewelers. Go on inside. Enjoy the beautiful decorations. Enjoy the new Patek Philippe showroom, whether you're buying a watch or not. Have some of the little hors d'oeuvres and refreshments with the piano playing, as you'll find the magic of Yahi's and their commitment to giving us, as customers, more than we could ever expect. Can't say that about too many places anymore. Certainly I say it about Yahi Jewelers in Grosse Pointe Woods. Yahi Jewelers, with extended holiday hours during this entire month of December. We continue in Focus with Paul W. J.R. You know, we had to cover a lot of news today, Mike Parsons, as our executive producer. You see it all first, and then we talk about it, and then we do it. And it's hard sometimes to do relentless positive radio. We do the best we can. We know people are on their way to making each and every day count, each day as a gift. That whole thing I've said for 30-plus years here. And QTR, which is newer, Quality Time Remaining, that Kim introduced us to. And people choose to be with us, which we really appreciate them choosing to be an important part of the what we call the best and brightest audience in all of radio. But it's a tough one. As beginning of the weekend, early on, I'm thinking, okay, don't forget to say happy and blessed Hanukkah to all celebrating, and then everything hits the fan.
Right.
The Australian Jewish massacre on Bondi Beach, the Brown University shooting, the Reiner family tragedy, both Rob and Michelle, and it's all indications are it's his challenged son who's had trouble, and the family's had to deal with this trouble for years and years. The Americans killed by ISIS in Syria. The New Year's Eve terror plot. The FBI just told us they just broke up.
And who knows?
What else is? I mean, there's so many damn things.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me nervous to think of what we're going to be talking about 24 hours from now.
Well, I hope answers to many of these situations. I hope answers to many of these problems. I hope they find the Brown University shooter. I hope we have a little more information on the Reiner family tragedy. And there's just so much that's going on. You know, one of the good things we talked about, and if you missed it, you should know that we had a wonderful conversation with an old friend who has retired from DTE, which is a great company. He was an executive and has started something called Trove Marketplace, the first e-commerce employment initiative for adults with disabilities. And that's our friend Dave Meador. It is an excellent idea, born from his 30-year-old daughter, who struggled to find full-time work with autism. She has part-time work, but now she has kind of full-time work doing her own thing as a creator. And so we're looking for more creators who have disabilities. Kim and I thought of some friends right away who have a son who could benefit from this, called the Trove Marketplace, where people are eligible if they have disabilities and they want to be able to earn income. And there's so much good that comes from a program like this that Dave Meter has started, and I want you to go online and find TroveMarket.com, which is what I'll be doing right after the show. TroveMarket, T-R-O-V-E, TroveMarket.com. Wasn't that a, I mean, in light of all this bad stuff, wasn't that a nice positive thing, Mr. Parsons, to be able to tell everyone about?
Yeah, it really was. And, I mean, Dave Meter, being the CEO or the executive he is, you know, he sent me a packet on, you know, info on Trove Market. And it's 11 pages. It's very detailed. And in there, it has statistics about people with disabilities. A high percentage of them are actually entrepreneurs because you know, they don't have to, there's no barriers in their way. There's not like a hiring process or somebody interviewing them saying, I don't know if we want to take a chance on this person. And, right. you know, a lot of people with autism or any of those other quote unquote disabilities, they can be superpowers in a business world. So I thought that was very, very interesting. And it says it's the first e-commerce employment initiative for adults with disabilities, and hopefully it's wildly successful and it's the first of many.
Well, we're going to do everything we can to help it be wildly successful by talking about it here and reminding people to go online to Trove, T-R-O-V-E, TroveMarket.com, and get family and friends involved that can use this as a wonderful opportunity. It's the first one, as you say, and as I said earlier, that I haven't heard of anything like this before. And take it from a parent of a child and who has gone through this and now is 30 years old, and he understood what was necessary, what was needed. And he didn't just understand it. He moved forward and did something about it. So God bless you, Dave Meter. And
right. And what a better person to start something like this, somebody who has run a big company that has a personal stake in this, so to speak.
And he was a big deal executive at DTE, and always a nice guy, always a good guy. And he's just continuing to do good things, which, by the way, when anybody retires, you better have something planned.
Right.
Because you want to wear out, not rust out. And I've seen this so much with people who retire and then don't know what to do with themselves, and they don't last very long on this earth.
I mean, there's something to be said about having something to get out of bed for in the morning.
Absolutely.
And longevity.
And Ryan Ermani has something to get out of bed for way too early, first thing in the morning, when he does his television show, and then comes over to do his radio show, which is JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani. And I don't know if he's ready to be able to talk to me or not. We don't have a lot of time, but are you ready to go, Ryan?
I am. I'm ready to go, locked and loaded. And I'll tell you this much. I am so blessed to be able to do both of the jobs that I have and be a part of the WJR history and family. And we're ready to go today.
We're happy to have you here, my friend. I know that our listeners are in for a great show. I wish you didn't have as much to talk about as you do today, but there's a lot to talk about, and I know you'll cover it. JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani. You go on out, make it a great rest of the day. You're on your way, and we'll talk to you in the afternoon. Regards, Paul W. Smith.